This, well, this week, I was at a conference for Jody, and the teachers learned something through her this week, how literally she takes them at their word. She was understanding something, and they said, "You're not hearing me." And she says, "Oh no, I guess I'm going to have to go to the doctor, and he'll tell me I can't hear." And they realized how literally she took what they were saying. She couldn't understand, but they say, "You're not hearing me." I want to read from Exodus 15:26 before we sing this song, because I believe this is the way the Lord wants us to take his word, as simply as a little child. No questions, just take his word. And Exodus 15:26, and he said, God said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God, your healer." In the King James, it says, "I am Jehovah who healeth thee." I believe that. And I believe if we will take that literally, simply, as a little child, we will see much more than we're seeing. Let's stand and sing this song. He is Jehovah. If the words are in your bulletins. Okay. He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the Balm of Gilead, the Rock of Ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Again, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah.
I want to sing that again. What? Sing the song Matthew 6. I want to sing it again.
All the verses? All right, now listen. I want to know something. Do you really believe this? Then why are you just standing there? He is Jehovah. Is he Jehovah? Is he the Lord God Almighty? Then let me hear you sing it that way. He is Jehovah. I saw people dancing to this. I just see you standing there, he is Jehovah. And I want to see you sing it with meaning. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, who healeth thee. He healeth thee. Now sing it with meaning. Do you believe it? He healeth thee. He is Jehovah, the God of creation. He is the great I Am, the God of Abraham. He is the provider. He is Jehovah that healeth thee. All right, let's sing it out. He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the Balm of Gilead, the Rock of Ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I Am, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I Am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. Sing it, Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son he sent to you, he testified of him. He is Jehovah.
You know, what these young people are doing is what has been prescribed in the Word of God, because the example is there, and the certificate that we've chosen for them, it just very simply says, "For this child I pray," and God has blessed Robin and Mike with this child. And the scripture says in Mark 10:13, they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. And we bow just for a moment of prayer before they have these vows. Father, you are the giver of life, and the sustainer of life, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for every manifestation of your love and for the gracious words of Jesus that we just read, and for the love of Jesus that comes into our hearts, and for the love that we can share with one another. And we ask your blessings now upon these parents and upon Kimberly Lynn as they come to this altar and as they do something very, very special that only they can do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. To you and the congregation, you're privileged to come and at this time and to witness what is going to happen. Jesus is here, and because of that, we just rejoice. And to the parents, Mike and Robin, you brought your child here. It's fitting that you bring the child to the house of God. Hannah brought her child to the house of God. And you recognize the responsibility. And it has to be said to you and for all of us to hear that this has nothing to do with the baby's salvation. This is not blessing the baby to be saved. This baby is saved already, as all babies are saved. But what they are doing in the presence of God and before you as people in the congregation is dedicating themselves so that when this baby gets to the age of accountability, this child will have been raised in the nurture and the admonition of God so the baby can then make a personal profession of faith. And is this your purpose, Robin and Mike?
Yes.
Okay. And having purpose in your heart, do you in the presence of these witnesses solemnly covenant to strive by precept and example and using the many agencies of the church to train your daughter Kimberly in love toward God and in the knowledge of his son Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you promise?
Yes.
And now having presented Kimberly in dedication to God, do you also desire to reconsecrate yourselves to Christ and in the spirit of this covenant live exemplary lives relying upon the grace of God to do as Jesus has commanded you to do. And having heard your vows and sacred assurances as pastor and father, I joyfully and with earnest prayer commend Kimberly to the gracious keeping of God, our Heavenly Father. Kimberly will not remember this day, therefore you will have to tell Kimberly about this day and the prayers that were made on behalf of Kimberly. As we bow to pray, Bill, would you please come forward? And Nancy, would you come forward? And would we just bow our heads as we pray? Okay. Our Father, we come in your presence as parents and grandparents on behalf of Kimberly Lynn. Kimberly has been brought to your house right now. Dedication of the parents, but also a time very specially set aside where this child is lifted up to you symbolically here at the altar. And Father, I pray your blessings upon Kimberly right now. I pray health and peace and prosperity, a blessing that only Jehovah God could give to this baby. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke sickness and illness of all kind and descriptions. I rebuke every germ. I rebuke everything that's negative. And I cover her with the blood of Jesus. And as I anoint her with this oil, I do so that she will be set aside as a very special person. Kimberly, I anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for Mike and Robin that you would give Mike wisdom as a father and as a husband. You would give him wisdom at work and at home. I pray for Robin, you would give her wisdom and knowledge. May she, as a mother and as a wife, receive this from you. And I just pray that the angels would come and surround their home and bless the three of them with you, the Father. We thank you for Bill and for Nancy and for me. And I just pray that all together we would rejoice and praise God for Kimberly Lynn Kenny. Amen. Would you turn around and just face the congregation for a moment?
One thing we can learn from babies is the dependency upon the parents. And one thing we can learn spiritually is our dependency upon God. No matter how old we are, we will never lose our dependency upon the Father. And when we become independent, then we have problems. When we become dependent, then we receive the blessings that God has to offer. And one thing He's asked us to do is to praise Him. Because the Bible says that when we praise Him, and I don't understand this, but I just accept it by faith, when we praise Him, He comes and inhabits our being. So John, as you come and lead us in praise, let's praise Him so that God would inhabit our very being.
Morning, who has a left ear that has been having trouble. You have trouble with the left ear, that God has healed your ear right this minute. He is the Lord that healeth thee, and right now He is here, and He has touched somebody who's had a left ear problem. And if you are that person, and you need to claim your healing right now. Claim your healing if you've had a problem in your left ear. Father, we thank You that You are the God that heals. And there's no difference in God today or God years ago. You are the same Jehovah God that healeth thee. And I just praise You, God, that You are in the process of healing us physically, healing us spiritually as well. And I'm asking that in Your loving kindness, You would touch us this day who have infirmities, and we would feel that we have been made whole in the name of Jesus. You told us to reach out by faith, and so I pray that people would do that, Lord. They would reach out by faith and not hold back.
You know, I would like to give a testimony of the healing that they had. Sweet. Okay. I had a bursitis in my arm up here. I don't know if you know the bursitis. I didn't really know, but it hurt real bad and moved it. And I claimed the healing and I was waiting for it. I was, by faith, I knew that I was healed and I was waiting for a manifestation. And this weekend during our Rockathon thing, we were listening to a tape or something. I looked up on my wall and I don't know if anybody who's ever been in my house, but I had a picture of a stone man with a big castle on his back carrying it through the woods or whatever. And right next to the stone man, there was a really small dragon about this big blowing fire on this man's right arm. And I got rid of that picture. I destroyed it, and my right arm hasn't hurt since.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. We must be careful what we have around us. Mary.
May I share a healing testimony?
Okay.
The Lord spoke this morning through Nancy and said, you know, well, do you believe what we're singing, that Jehovah is, that God is a healer? And then And then later on, you spoke about dependency on God, how joy supports literally. Well, my mother-in-law, 62 years old, for 55 or 50 of those 62 years, she was a good moral woman. For 9 of 10 of those years, she's been a Christian. She had no dependence on the Lord whatsoever. She was saved in the name of Jesus. And she told everybody she was. She used to be a good moral woman. Now she's a good moral faith woman. But when she almost died last year of heart problems, then she began to have a dependency on the Lord. And she was in the hospital, she believed, for a healing for her heart attack, which she got in June. In the middle of July, she was out visiting us. 6 weeks after the heart attack, she was out vacationing here in California. But then recently, about 4 weeks ago, she almost died again. Well, she was in hospital in very serious condition, and she was bleeding from her bowels. And the doctors, too, her surgeon, two doctors, a surgeon and her other doctor, a specialist, discovered a large mass in her rectum. And they told her, we believe this large mass is a cancerous growth, and be prepared for a colostomy, where we will have to remove your lower intestine. And so my sister-in-law, Judy, went to church on Sunday night. This church, people in this church were praying for me. Judy went to church on Sunday night, and the preacher there said, simply, if you want to receive a healing through, in the name of Jesus, stand up and receive it. So Judy believed him. She stood up and raised her hand and said, I claim this for me. The next morning on a national TV program, the man was praying, and he received a word of knowledge, and he said, right now, at this very moment, somebody is being healed of cancer in the rectum. Judy said, thank you, it's me. I know it. She went around praising the Lord all day. The Pentecostal church where May, in her town, the preacher came, and he said, with some people, lay hands on her, and he said, if you will believe and receive this day a healing, you can have it. So she said, May's always been a simple, childlike person. She said, okay, I received it. And when the doctors went in to perform the surgery, there was nothing there.
Okay, praise God.
You may ask me something simple. The Lord is very simply saying to us today, no emotion. You don't have to have any emotion. He is saying, come. If you have a need, he is saying, come. In the name of Jesus, you will be set free. He is also saying, don't question. We have fears. You say, if I take that step to Jane, for instance, walk up there and pray for his hearing, and we didn't see the hearing, well, we say, he didn't receive his healing. In the name of Jesus, by the step of faith that he made, he received his healing. That's the Lord mentioned about the issue of the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. She saw Jesus. She reached out. She received her healing. Then she went and proclaimed it. This is what is required of us as well. To reach out, we will receive, and then proclaim it. We have received it already in the name of Jesus. This morning, very strongly, the Lord has said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and put none of the Bible, none of the deeds, and keep all the statutes, I am the Lord your God.
If you're here this morning and you have a need, it can be a physical healing, a need, an emotional need, a spiritual need. It may be a gigantic need. It may be a small need. Just take the step of faith and just say, I'm going to claim my healing. Just say, I'm going to claim my healing. And you've got to take that faith step, like that lady in the issue of blood. She reached out and touched Jesus' garment. So, we're not going to prolong this, but I just want you to bow your heads. And if you want to accept a healing this morning in some way or another, I just want you just to lift your hand up. I'm not going to say anything to you. I just want you to take this step of faith. Just lift your hand up and then put it back down. This is showing your faith in a healing in your body. Okay. Okay. Another one. All right. Yes. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay. Lord Jesus, these are people who have accepted what the Bible says, and they are literally going through a belief in it. They are believing it literally. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. He's not, God is not joking or pulling our string. He is spitting fire. And Lord, for those people who lifted up their hand in a step of faith, I thank you that you are in the process now of healing their body. They can claim the healing. They can claim the healing because in the name of Jesus, they can claim their healing. And they can go from this place in a few minutes free. And Lord, I pray they will testify to the healing, and when the manifestations of that healing occur, they would come to your house and share with their brothers and sisters what God has done. For we praise the name of Jesus. Amen. After the service, we'll be praying for people. If you want to come down and be prayed for, or receive a deliverance, or receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a time when we're here. We'll stay all day if necessary to help you in your particular need. Let's praise God with offerings. May we tithe and offerings. Mr. Ferguson, would you come forward? God, we thank you for this opportunity, and we ask you just to bless the gift and bless the giver in Jesus' name. Faith, I proclaim that God has the power to heal. Why don't you do the same thing if you want to? Stand and tell us what you're claiming this morning as a healing, all right? Why don't you do that?
Since I was born, and I also want a healing in the
spiritual and emotional area of my life which causes me to be overweight.
Okay. Someone else. Claim the healing this morning.
I claim the healing of the chest hold is going to be occurring all day. So.
Okay. Praise God. Claim the healing. Someone else.
I claim the healing for my allergies.
Okay. Bear in mind that everything wrong with you is of Satan, because Satan wants your very worst, God wants your very best. Satan wants to destroy you, God wants to build you up. And everything that's wrong is not of God. Anybody else want to claim healing this morning?
I just want to say that those who have been in this church with us since we've been here, that I have to stand and proclaim something that I know seems very strange to you all. I still believe that, and I know it to be true. And in the process, I have received inner healing. I've been set free completely. He wants to do a complete job on us, inward and outward. That is his desire, as I do. But because you don't see it, you will.
Will you claim that healing for you and for James and for everybody else?
Or that
these so-called big deals.
I want to claim that healing for Harold.
And for Harold Lawson.
Right. And Blanche Gordon.
Blanche Gordon.
And Luella.
And Luella.
Terry Jackson is sick right now.
Okay. Roxy, go home and lay your hands on your wife and say in the name of Jesus. I smite you, spirit of infirmity. Anyone else want to claim healing before we turn to God's Word?
For the ringing in my ears that I've had for a number of years, so I claimed that this morning.
Okay, a ringing in your ears, yes. All right. Ellen?
I want to claim the cancer condition.
Okay, the cancer condition healed in Alma. Frank?
I want to claim the healing in my arthritis.
Arthritis in your back. Claim that healing. Someone else. Step out in faith. According to your faith be it unto you, the Bible says. Yes, ma'am. Okay, praise God. I've had a very bad left ear, Tony. It's been bothering me for a number of years. And I have claimed the healing. And it has not bothered me since I got serious with Satan doing a trick on me with my ear. And when you spoke that word, I thought of myself immediately, but then I also knew that I had not had this ear problem in the last, say, week, and so therefore I thought it was for somebody else. And it could well be, it could well be, but it could be a reassurance to me that God has healed my ear.
I've been thinking all along
that you're
meant to.
Okay.
How many brought your Bibles this morning? I want, if you brought a Bible, I just want you to hold it up just for a moment. Just hold it up. Hold it up if you brought a Bible. This is the first time in my life here I've ever asked this question. Okay? Okay. I didn't need this. 7 Bibles brought today. Next week, I'm going to do it again. I want to see the Bibles brought. The Bibles brought. And I want to see so many Bibles, I'll have to do like this, and I couldn't even count, and I can say, here it is, 23 this morning. This world is just a big, almost ball. It's got all kind of pinholes stuck in it, representing wells. Big wells, little wells, beautiful wells, ugly wells, stone wells, concrete wells, brick wells, all kind of wells. And I was thinking this past week of all the people that have stood by wells, what they have seen in the wells, and what happened at the well was very, very important. And I think of a man by the name of Joseph who was thrown into a well. And his brothers threw him in a well and said, ah, that will do him good. We mean it evil. But the Bible says that God turned it around and made it for his good. Joseph, thrown into a well, the scripture says in Genesis chapter 37. And you know, sometimes people throw you in a well and they say, I'm going to take care of that sucker and I'll throw him in a well. Not literally, but figuratively. Do things to harm you. Do things to hamper you. And they mean for your bad, but God can turn it for your good. And I think of Joseph, who was thrown in a well. Then I think of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And you can guess why he was called the weeping prophet. He wrote the book of Lamentations. He was lamenting all over the place. Well, people threw him in a well, too. The Bible says, you don't have to turn to it, but in Jeremiah chapter 38, people didn't like what he was preaching. And they said, well, we'll sure silence that guy up. And so they took him and they threw him in a well. And the Bible says there was no water in the well, but it was ooey gooey at the bottom. You stepped in muddy gush, as the kids call it, and it sticks, goes up between your toes. They threw him in the pit. They threw him down in the well because they didn't like what he was saying. They said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll silence you once and for all. Well, the king decided he would do something about it, and he sort of had a king's heart toward Jeremiah, and he sent some men to pull Jeremiah up out of the well. And it's interesting how it's stated. They took some rags out of the clothes closet, and they tied them end to end, and they lowered them down to him, and they said, now take the heavy rags and put it under your armpits, so that when we lift you up by the rope, all the rags that are at the very bottom of the rope and around you won't hurt you. And so they lifted him out of what he had been placed into, and God spoke through him again prophetically, and the people didn't like to hear what he said, but what he said turned out to be true. What he said turned out to be true. Then I think of two guys by the name of Amaziah and Jonathan. They once went into a well, too, to hide from their pursuers. And the well was in a court. The people helped them get into the well, and then they covered up the well so that nobody could see they were there. And when people came in pursuing them, they were told that maybe they'd gone somewhere else. So three people come to my mind who were in a well in the Bible. But I think of wells, I think of what comes out of the wells. Treasures come out of wells. And this morning I want you to know that there is a treasure that can come out as living waters out of the wells we're going to look at. Flowing, first of all, from the church. Treasures come out of wells. About 10 years ago I went to one of the ranches on the edge of town and I was shown a well. It was an abandoned well. The home site was gone. There was nothing to indicate that life ever was around the well. But people had gone down into the well and they had found treasures. And they had thrown the treasures up on the around the well. And there were pieces of glass. There were, you know, broken bottles. The things that are thrown in wells, not free coins, though they probably did find some coins down there. But they threw out like license plates, and I got a 1926 California license plate. Oh, it's rusty and corroded and all bent and messed up, but it is, to me, it was a treasure. It came out of the well. It had been discarded and thrown into the bottom of the well, and yet somebody finds it later. And today I say to you that this Bible is full of treasures like a well. And wells and streams are not distinguished by name in the Word of God. But wells were very, very important in providing the water for the sustaining of the people. And so when you made a trip, you carried with you a leathern bottle, or you carried some kind of a leathern pouch. You also carried a rope because the wells were deep. And if you didn't have your own rope supply, there'd be no way to get the water out of the bottom of the well so it could satisfy you. Today, God is asking for faith as rope to go down in the well and bring it back up. And in a few minutes, we're going to turn to John and we're going to say to ourselves, let's be just like the people were during the days of Jesus when John spoke the words of Jesus. When Jesus said, I am the water of life, and if you come and drink of me, Jesus said, you will never, ever, ever thirst again. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, and if you're using the Pew Bibles, which most of you are, from not lifting up your own personal Bibles, turn to page 817. 817 in the Pew Bible, Jeremiah 2:13, and it reads like this. My people. Now, this is not talking about the heathen. It's talking about my people. God's people. You, for example, this morning. My people have committed, well, that's nice, only two evils, not five or six, but two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The two sins of these people are the same sins that are being committed today by me and by you. Two sins, at least. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken fountain of living waters. And secondly, they have hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. So here's the picture before we turn to these wells this morning. We have a person, like you, for example, who forsakes the fountain of living water, which Jesus said he was. And in forsaking the fountain of living, beautiful water, they have turned to drinking water out of hewed out cisterns. They would go to a large boulder and they would chisel out and they would fill it or let the rain fill it and it would be a cistern. And the cistern at one time contains fresh water, but after a while, especially when the sun bears down upon it, what happens to that water? It gets contaminated. It's contaminated. That means germs are in it. I don't know about you, but germs aren't good. You know, basically, germs do us harm. But Jeremiah said, the people are doing this. They've forsaken the waters that are alive. They are forsaking the waters that are bubbling and sparkling for contaminated, dirty, scummy water in a cistern. And furthermore, it says that it's a broken cistern that can even hold no water. A crack gets in it, and some of the water is oozing out. It's a picture of today's people choosing what we want. Well, you see, to get to the cistern, we just have to take one step and lap it up. But to get to the fountain of living waters, we might have to do something. We might have to work for it. In fact, we may get our legs scratched with the briars going up the path to get to the fountain of living waters. And so we don't like that scratching. We don't like the hurt and the pain. And so we say, well, I'm just not going to get my leg scratched up getting to that water. I'm just going to take one step and be satisfied here. For the moment, you're satisfied. You can drink the slimiest water, if your eyes were closed, in the world. And for a moment, you would be satisfied. But once that water gets into your body, something starts happening with the chemical processes. And so today God is asking you to come to the fountain, come to these wells we're going to look at. And the first thing to do is to draw out. What are you going to draw out? Well, I think we'll show you as we go through some of these scriptures. Draw out. Now, we're not talking about some pie in the sky by and by business. We're talking about something that will help you right this week where you work and live and play. And maybe you can help somebody else too. There was a town in the Midwest many years ago, turn of the century, and the nearest water supply was just really a long way away. And people had to laboriously go and get the water in pails and bring it back to home. There was no water supply except this one well, which was so far away.
And I don't know why anybody didn't think of it before, but finally one man thought to himself, why don't I give myself to the planning and the working of getting that water from that well into the town where the people are? And the man spent his time. The man spent his money. The man spent his effort. And it wasn't long before he had devised a very crude but serviceable pipe that brought the water from the well to the city. When the man died, they memorialized the pipe by placing his name on it, and people knew that this pipe represented a man who tried to get the water from point A to point B. Now, God has sent his son. God has sent his son to bring us the water. And once we get the water, he's asked you to give the water. That's why we have a missionary program through our church. That's why we service missionaries around the world through your money that you give to this church, helping them to get the water of life. And briefly, just this comment on this scripture. It issues from God's house. Yes, there's something holy about this house. From out of this house runs this water into the community. Now, when we leave in a few minutes, every one of you have the choice of going out that door or maybe one of these other doors. But even if you go out these two doors, you'll eventually have to go out of this house from one of the outside doors. But take that door, for example. The water of life is here, and you take it with you because you go out of that door, and you just take the flood with you. But if you have got nothing in you to take, nothing's going to go out. But the scripture says that the water issues from God's house, Ezekiel chapter 47. Now, all good originates from God. All good originates from God. Now, literally, there was no water in the temple in Jerusalem. That is why the brazen seas were made. These huge, gigantic bronze bowls to carry for the water, to have water there for the washing. Being on the top of a hill, they couldn't have a well right there. Or they devised methods whereby water was brought in. But it was right there. And it issued from the house of God. The second thing is this, that the water that issues, that gives you life, goes unaffected by time and season. While you're in the Old Testament, turn to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8. Page 1037 in the Pew Bible. 1037. Ezekiel chapter 14 of 47 spoke first about the temple, and now we have Zechariah chapter 14 verse 8. Beautiful verse. And it shall be in that day that living waters, now we're talking about the living water of Jesus, living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And so the living waters that flow are flowed unhindered by times and by seasons. Many people have gone to wells wanting water and found the well empty. But from God's well, according to God's word, times and seasons can come and go, but the water will always be there, perpetually. They will not dry up. The water will always be there. Now the reason for that is in John chapter 4, verse 10. John chapter 4, verse 10. Page 135 in the New Testament. 128 in the New Testament. John 4, 10 and 11.
Jesus answered and said unto her, now bear in mind, he is standing beside a well, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee, what kind of water? Living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Now Jesus says, I am the living water. As water satisfies the body thirst, so Jesus satisfies the spiritual thirst. Jesus satisfies the spiritual thirst. Today you can have all kind of problems. You can be messed up with your marriage, messed up in your finances, messed up in your health. You can be messed up where you work. You can be messed up at school. Just everything crumbling around you, everything falling apart, and Jesus comes and says, hey, I'm the answer. And it's just not a pious statement. He's the answer. He's the answer. The dryness of the problems becomes alive with the living water. Christ is the source of this. There were some Christians many years ago who believed things like this. They believed the Bible, what it said about healing, about health, about demons, about anointing with oil, about fasting, about praying, about all the things that we believe in our church. And they believed this, they did this. But there was a governor, whose name slips my mind right now, who did not like this, especially some of the more vocal Christians of the local church. And so these people were banished to an island, sort of like a prison. And the only place water could be found was 10 miles away from where these prisoners had to live. Now they were thirsty. But one of these people from the church that had been exiled and banished to this island got down on his knees, knowing that 10 miles away was the nearest water supply, and that's a long way to have to go for a drink of water. Therefore, people got sick and people died. He got down on his knees and he lifted up his eyes to the author and finisher of our faith. He lifted up his eyes to the one who can supply the water. And he said, Lord Jesus, these your children around us are thirsty. Please help us. And in his eye, mind, he saw in the distance, like about 2 stones throw, a lamb that was there. It wasn't a real lamb, it was just a visionary of a lamb. He went over to where the lamb was in his mind's eye with a friend, and they started digging. And they did not have to dig very deep, just a little bit, and water started coming up. And they praised God because God had supplied their physical need. In the middle of nowhere came the water. And they were renewed in their spirit, even more so, because they knew that God was going to provide for them where they were, even in their prison. Just like Joseph in the well and Jeremiah in the well. They knew that Jesus was the source of all of this. And they knew, further, if you have your Bible open to John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, that he will supply the very deepest of needs that you have this day. No matter what your need is, it can be supplied. Because God is dealing with miracles. John chapter 7, verse 37 and verse 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost
was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus satisfies the deepest need. He is that spring. And the water that furnishes the spring comes from the deep. But sometimes there has to be a violent quake to bring forth the water in your life.
Some of you have been up to the Casa de Swallow. The water supply is furnished by a well about a quarter of a mile up the road. Beautiful spring. I've looked at the spring when the weeds were down, and they have made a well around that spring of old concrete. But they tell me that there was no well there, and there was no spring there, until the earthquake of 1906 that destroyed half of San Francisco. Well, it did something down in La Priest Valley. It opened up a spring. And the settlers rejoiced that now there was living water right there. But the living water for us, if you were dying of thirst, came as a result of the quake. And sometimes there has to be a violent quake within us. In other words, we've got to shake ourselves out of the cistern and get us into that position where we have flowing the living water. Now Jesus says he is the source of it, John 4, 10 and 11. And in John 7, 37 and 38, he says it will supply your deepest, deepest need. Jesus frequently compared the gifts and the influences of the Holy Spirit to water, to rain, to fountains, to wells, and to rivers. And so I guess it comes down to this. The supply is inexhaustible. The supply is inexhaustible. You turn to Revelation chapter 7, and you'll read what I'm saying. Chapter 7, verse 17, page 341 in the New Testament. It says right here, "The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living waters of fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." My people, the Lamb has the same agent in heaven as the Lamb has here on the earth, and that is to promote happiness for the redeemed. And in heaven, the Lamb will do the very same thing. "The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into living fountains of water." A living contrast between the stagnant pools and the fresh water supply that's available. Something very vivid to the Oriental who was in need of water more than we today in America. Well, the supply is inexhaustible. And then the last thing is, this supply of water makes fruitful your life today. For look at Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the streets of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." This water that's of life makes life fruitful, and even in heaven. In heaven, there's going to be a river that's going to go right down the city of Jerusalem. And it says that there are going to be trees on both sides of this, and that the leaves are for the healing. Now, this may cause a problem if you're thinking about why would you have to be healed in heaven, because Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are washed, wiped away." That's true. That is true. But it says here, were, W-E-R-E, they were for the healing of the nation. I like Isaiah 35, 6. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. There are times when I find myself in a desert, but I know the streams are right there. Streams in the desert. And when I drink of the stream, it's like a lame man leaping as a deer, leaping as a hart. And the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall break out the streams in the desert. This is what you can draw out this morning. The knowledge that it issues from God's house, it's unaffected by times and seasons. Christ is the source of it. It satisfies your deepest need. The supply is inexhaustible, and it makes life fruitful. And that's what it's all about. And Jesus is the source. And so it says in Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Isaiah 55 says, come with no money and buy with no money, taking the water of life freely. Let me read just three scriptures as we close. First is Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're thirsty this morning, you will be filled. The second one is in John 4:14, and it reads like this. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It will be in you springing up to everlasting life. And the last scripture is Proverbs 5:15, which puts it right where you are. Drink waters out of your own cistern, or running waters out of your own well. It says your. Jeremiah said, choose what you want to do, drink from the stagnant pool or the living waters. And it says right here, you can do it out of yours, and that's so important. It is your own well out of which you can draw. Our Father, thank you that each one of us has a well. Everybody here has a well. And if we are Christians, then we've got a Jesus well. Help us to draw from the waters of this Jesus well, which is the way well. He said, I'm the way. And may we be content and flourish in the way's well instead of the world's well. God, give us perception to see how easy it is to drink from the world's well, and it will not satisfy. In fact, damage will be done by the contaminated water. But there is an effort, yes, an effort on our part to drink from the living waters of Jesus. I guess, Lord, that's why you said broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for the living waters that are in Jesus, and we praise your holy name. Would you stand with me, please?